Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Samaches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the Gemara on the fourth line from the top of Daf Samach Ches, we will notice a diamond form around Ula's name. This draws our attention to the topic heading and structural note that that accompany our sugya. On the outside margin, you'll notice we've written in Nosei and Mivneh. The Nosei represents the topic, and Mivneh the structural note. You see a diamond featured. Machloikis Ulav Rabbi Yochanan, Pogem Meikora, Ma Sover Rabbi Meir. We're going to have a controversy between Ula and Rabbi Yochanan regarding a situation where the initial contact of the forbidden substance with the allowed food item, creating a mixture of Iser and Heter, where the initial result is that it has a bad taste. What will Rabbi Meir's opinion be with regard to Pogem Meikora? When we speak about Rabbi Meir, we're referring to a machlokis that was seen on Samach Zayin Omid Beis in a Tanaic source, approximately halfway down the page, where the issue of Nosein Tam Lifgam came up, a mixture of a negative or a poor of an usher substance with mutter food. Rabbi Meir said that Nosein Tam Lifgam is forbidden, whereas Rabbi Shimon says that if it's Nosein Tam Lifgam, it's mutter. What does Rabbi Meir say about a situation where the initial mixture, the initial contact point or mixing point of the forbidden substance, forbidden food with the heter food, is already of a negative nature? There's another situation, another scenario called Shavach Meikora, V'achakach Nifgam, where it tastes good initially, but then it goes bad. So, as far as Ula and Rabbi Yochanan are concerned at this point in the Gemara, we will see a machlokis between those two Amoroyim regarding Shitas Rabbi Meir, who generally holds Tam Lifgam is Usur, in a situation where the initial mixing point is negative. So in our comment we've indicated that Ula will hold Divrei HaKol, including Rabbi Meir, says Mutter, that even Rabbi Meir, who holds Nosein Tam Lifgam is Osir, not in a case when it's Nifgam or Pogem Meikora. Rabbi Yochanan will say that in that case of Pogem Meikora, there is a Machlokes. The Gemara later on will raise a question within Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. If you're telling me that Pogem Meikora is a machlokes, what will be the opinion of the Tanoim when it comes to Hishbiach Ulubasov Pogam, where initially it was a good taste? It could be where initially it was a good taste, the forbidden food mixing with the heter food creating an initial good taste and then going bad, and then the mixture tasting bad afterwards. It could be that even there Rabbi Shimon, who was lenient, will be strict. Let's now see the Gemara. Omar Ula, fourth line from the top. Machlokes, the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon that we saw on Samach Zayin Amud Beis is Shishbiach Lubasov Pogam. That's where the initial point of contact with the usher forbidden food and allowed food was positive and then went bad later on. Avol Pogam Eikora, but if there is an initial bad taste that the felt upon the initial point of mixing. Divrei HaKol Mutter. Notice we've dashed, underlined Divrei HaKol. This is the main point that Ula is trying to make. Everyone will hold that that it's allowed, and namely even Rebbe Meir. The dashed underline will help us also to see the contrast between Ula's point and the question that's going to be raised now. Esvei Rav Chago l'Ula. Rav Chago raises an objection to Ula's analysis from the following source. Yayin shenofa l'soy chadoshim. Wine that fell into lentils. V'chometz shenofa l'toch grisin. Vinegar that fell into a greasen dish. Osir. Rabbi Shimon Matir. And Rabbi Shimon says that it's okay. How are we to describe this mixture? Let us say the case of chometz, the vinegar falling into lentils, and the vinegar is of an osir, of a forbidden nature. That is initially a bad tasting dish, and you see here upliki, namely the Tanakama, says it's not allowed. So how can Ula claim that Poga Meikora everyone says is allowed when here we see upliki? We've dashed the line upliki because this is the point of controversy between, or the point of question between what the source that Rav Chaga is bringing and Ula's comment. Oma Ula, Ula reacts and says as follows: Chaga lo meida yoda maiko amri rabbonon tiyuvto kol moisiv. He refers to Rav Chaga by his name and says he doesn't know what the rabbonon, doesn't understand what the rabbonon say, what the rabbis say, and he raises objections. If you don't understand the topic, how can you raise questions on the topic? Hocho b'mayaskinon. The case that is being described over here is kigon shenofal l'soich grisin tzoinenim v'hir sicham, which where the vinegar fell into cold grisim, and then they were boiled up. Nase kemishish biach l'besof pogam v'oser. That's a case where the initial mixture was actually good tasting. The cold grisim and vinegar, as we've seen in previous gemaras, was a desirable dish, and as a result of its initial at the initial contact point, it was good tasting. That is what creates the iser in the mind of the Tana Kama. However, if it was pogam meikora, then even the Tana Kama would have acknowledged that it's okay. Rabbi Yochanan, he's in a diamond. He is in contrast to Ula. You'll see the difference momentarily. Rabbi Yochanan Omar bepogem meikora machloikis. Let's compare this with the use of our arrows that you have in the margin to the immediate, in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. You see an arrow here and an arrow above. Above, the issue of pogem meikora was introduced by Ula, and said, there he said divrei akol muter. Here we see machloikis, and these expressions are dashed underlined. You can see Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Ula in saying that even in a case where it's initially no good, even Rabbi Meir will stick to his opinion that of no Saint Tam Livgam is osir. And of course Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Since Rabbi Yochanan featured the case of Pogei Meikora as being the point of Machlokes, what is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion with regard to the opinion of this of the Tanoim in the case of Hishbiach L'Basov Pogam, the other scenario? Ibaya Laho. We'll be introducing this question with the two sides, as are indicated with the Aleph, and next line, O Dilma is swivel line, the alternative is presented, Beis. In our marking system, when the Gemara presents alternatives to whatever, could be alternative versions, alternative answers, two sides to a question, we use the squiggle underline marking. So here the Gemara asks, "Bepogein meikora machlokes." Is it so that as Rabbi Yochanan said, that when the initial mixture tastes no good, the initial mixing creates a bad taste, it is under those circumstances that there is a machlokes. Avol, hishbiach ulebesof pogam divrei akol oser. But if upon initial contact or initial mixture it took on a good taste and only later on went bad, then everyone would agree it's forbidden. Everyone, including Rabbi Shimon, who was up till this point lenient, on Dilma, or it may be that bein bezu machlokes, that the machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon regarding no saint tam livgam applies across the boards, whether it be pogam meikora or yishpiach ulubasov pogam. So as far as this question is concerned, teku, that remains unresolved. Omar of Amram, Efshir Isa l'ha de Rabbi Yochanan, v'lo tanya lo b'mas nisin? Could it be that there is an opinion of Rabbi Yochanan's, namely, that pogem meikora machlokes, that even where initially the mixture tastes bad, there is someone that will say that it's forbidden. And we don't have a Tanaic source of this sheet of this opinion? Nofak dok viashkach. Well, he went out and checked into it, researched it, and found Disnan, the following source. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's take note of some of our markings. We have a triangle featured here, and this you will see is explained under the Mivneh heading in the outside margin. Nisyonos lehochiach Rabbi Yochanan, attempts to prove Rabbi Yochanan from a mimokor tanoi, from a Tanaic source. We also have used a double underline with dots in it. You can see them later. They come to emphasize the point that we're looking for, namely, hocha de pogam meikora hu upligi. In other words, we'll try to feature in the Gemara the conclusion the Gemara attempts to reach at each stage, that we've found a situation of pogam meikora where there's initial bad taste, upligi, and that there is a machlokes. And that will show what Rabbi Yochanan was trying to say. Let us turn to the Gemara. We said that Rav Amram raised a question. Well, he then went out and checked into it and found the following source. Se'or shel chulin shenofa l'soicho isa v'yesh bo kedei lahachmitz. Se'or is sourdough. This is what causes regular doughs to rise. So we have se'or, sourdough, that's of a permissible nature. It's chulin. Not truma, it's something chulin, something anyone can eat. It fell into a batter, and it had sufficient. There was sufficient quantity of the sor. We're talking about quantities here. Quantity of sor versus quantity of dough batter. There was a sufficient quantity of the sourdough to cause this particular batter to rise. The chmitza, and it caused the fermentation properly. The achakach nofal seor shel truma o seor shel kilia kerem. And afterwards, some more sourdough fell in. However, this time the sourdough was truma sourdough, a truma tie. This comes from grains. It's manufactured from grains that are for kohanim alone. In other words, others zorim cannot eat truma, or it came from grains that grew in a vineyard, kilia kerem, which are also forbidden. And this second quantity of sourdough that fell in, whether it had been from truma or kilakir, v'yesh boi kedei lahachmitz, and it too would be capable of making a batter of that quantity rise. Now we have a mixture of, we have a dough mixture that has in it sourdough of chulin and of truma, or chulin and of kilakir. This batter, according to the first opinion, usur, it's not allowed. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. The ho ha ha. This case where the point at which the sa'or of truma fell in, and it already had fermented sufficiently beforehand. The ho ha ha. De pogam meikora hu upliki. This is an example of with the initial contact of the forbidden substance creates a negative taste. And yet there is a machlokes, namely the Tanakhama says it's not allowed, and Rav Shimon says it's allowed. That would be like Rabbi Yochanan and not like Ula. Omar Rabbi Zera, Shiny Isa, Hoyu uruyo lachamea bo kamo isos acheros. The example cited here of Esau, of dough, is different. Shiny means it's different. Since we're talking about dough, the now over-fermented, if you will, batter can itself be used in the future as sourdough with regard to other batters that one prepares later. Therefore, this is not an example of something that is bad upon initial contact of Isser with Heter. It's not bad. It's a useful mixture. It's a useful substance. So as a result of that, it doesn't fall under the heading of our discussion, which was Pogame Meikar. There is no Pogame here. Toshma. So we try again. We have another source. In this source, there are several examples. We've numbered them off. And from the third example, we will see what we are looking for. In other words, we're looking for a source that would indicate Shitas Rabbi Yochanan that Poge Meikar is a machlokes. So the source begins, Sa'or shel truma v'shel chulin shenaflu l'soicha isa. Sourdough of truma and of chulin that fell together simultaneously into a batter, into some dough. Bozeh kedei l'hachmitz u'bozeh kedei l'hachmitz v'chimtzu. Each quantity of sourdough, of allowed sourdough and forbidden sourdough, had in and of themselves enough power to cause the fermentation. And they fermented the dough. The mixture is forbidden. Osir, Rabbi Shimon Matir. Nofal shel truma tchila, divrei hakol osir. If the truma, sourdough, fell into the batter first, and it had the sufficient power to cause fermentation, so everyone will agree that this batter is forbidden. That's a case where the iser, the forbidden substance, upon its initial contact, produced a good situation as far as the fermentation is concerned. Unfortunately, the sourdough was prohibited, so everyone will agree that since an effective fermentation was reached initially with the forbidden substance, that the batter is forbidden. Third example, nofal shel chulin v'achakach nofal shel truma oy shel kilei akerem. This may sound familiar. This was an example we saw just before. Here we have sourdough of chulin fell in first, and then truma, sourdough, fell in, or kilei akerem. In other words, we had a batter that was good, and when the iser fell in, It over fermented it. Since upon the initial contact of the forbidden substance, there was also an initial negative situation, this third example conforms to what we're looking for of Poge Meikoro. The Tanakhama says, Osir Rabbi Shimon Matir. The Tanakhama says that even though it's Poge Meikoro, its initial mixture creates a negative situation, nevertheless it's forbidden, and Rabbi Shimon allows it. The hocha is a reference to case 3, the pogame koro pligi. This is a case of initial no good contact, and there is a machlokes. Now, since this case sounded very familiar, you might want to give the same answer as Rabbi Zeiro gave just before. V'chitema hochinami kida Rabbi Zeira. And if you'll try to answer, well, this is not an example of Poge Meikara, because as Rabbi Zeira said before, this is a mixture now that could be used as good sourdough for future batters. In other words, it's not an example of Poge Meikara whatsoever. Toshma mi seifa. So we'll continue our search for Shitas Rabbi Yochanan from the end of that source. It continues. The source continues to say, "Hayayin shenafal l'soich adoshim, the chometz shenafal l'soich grisim, oser, where wine fell onto lentils or chometz, vinegar fell onto grisim." Tanakhama says this is a forbidden mixture, and Rabbi Shimon Matir, of course, as we've said before, the wine or the vinegar that's falling into these dishes is forbidden vinegar. Let's say the second case was chometz shenafal l'toch grisin, forbidden vinegar that fell into grisin. It's a type of dish, The Tanakhama says it's Osir, and Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. V'hohachi nami, notice with double underline again, this is to emphasize that which we're looking for. This is a case of the pogam meikora upligi, like Rabbi Yochanan said. So we'd have a source that would bear out Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. Namely, that pogam meikora is a machlokes. V'chitema hachinami kedeshoni le'ulo le'rabbi chago kishbiach le'besof pogam. And if you'll try to say that this source is to be understood as Rabbi Chaga tried to say on Omen Aleph, and if you need to find where this appeared, you can use the arrow that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Omen Aleph, and if you turn or scroll back to Omen Aleph, and you'll find an arrow also to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Omen Beis, where you'll find Rabbi the comment made concerning Rabbi Chaga. Concerning, let's more accurately, concerning Ula's response to Rabbi Chaga, where Ula said that this is really a case of Hishbiach ulbesov pogam, and not a case of pogam meikoro v'hokotani, but it says nofal shel truma tchila divrei hakol oser. The very source that we are dealing with said. Let's go over this point. The very source in which you find Chemetz Shenofalus of Grisim, that very source had in it the case of the dough case of Nofal Shel Truma Tchila. This was our second example in the Reisha source that was cited on the bottom of Omed Aleph. And that case of Nofal Shel Truma Tchila, which, by the way, you can find it by noting the double asterisk that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. There's a double star with that's circled with an Omed Aleph indicator. If you look on Omed Aleph, you'll see where this quote is coming from. Well, in this very same source, it said, it portrayed a case of Hishpiach Lubesov Pogam, namely, where the Truma fell in first. That was good. It made it fermented it properly. It was just usher substance. It was a forbidden substance that fell in. But as far as the fermentation is concerned, that's called hishbiach. And then the chulin over-fermented it and fell in later. So you see, in that case, that's an example of hishbiach ulubesov pogam. And it says, divrei hakol usher. Everyone agrees. Even Rabbi Shimon will say that that's forbidden. So we cannot say that the source that features a machlokas is featuring a case of hishpiach lebesof pogam, whereby the vinegar, let us say, fell into the cold grisim and then he boiled it up. Because if that would have been the case, as far as this Tanaic source is concerned, that would have been a case of hishpiach lebesof pogam, and cases like that everyone holds is usher. You would not have Rabbi Shimon saying mutter. Elo lav. Shma mino, so we must conclude that this source is bepogam meikora machlokes shma mino, that this source is talking about an initial negative taste that results from the forbidden substance falling in. The last example would have been the case of the chometz falling into the grisin. If the chometz fell into hot grisim, we'll have to say, where that's initially a bad taste, and yet you see the Tanakhama saying usher, and only Rabbi Shimon saying mutter. So that we see from here that Poga Meikora is itself a machlokes shma mino, proving, like Rabbi Yochanan said, or at least we can say, demonstrating a Tanaic source like Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara now goes on, focusing on the Tanaic source that started at the bottom of Omed Aleph, concluding with the Seifa of it on the top of this Omed. The Gemara asks, Hani Tlosa Bovi Dikotoni Lomali. The three sections. Now, let us not confuse when there's a reference made to three with the numbering that we started within this very source on Omed Aleph. The three sections referred to is a reference to the Reisha and the Seifa, the first section of this source, which began up the last narrow line in Amud Aleph, including the Seifa of the, namely the end part of the very same Tanaic source that appeared at the top of this Amud. So regarding the contents of the of this source, the Gemara is asking, Hani Tlosa Bavi Dikatoni Lomali. The three sections of it, the breakdown will be demonstrated by the Gemara. What do I need them for? And by the way, we have a long question marking that accompanies this section. You can see that to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, Hani Tlosa Bavi. And it goes down a few lines. All of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line are part of the question. Within the Gemara text itself, you'll see we've underlined the words Seifa, Mitziosa, and Reisha. Those are the three sections that the Gemara will be focusing on. We've also added in the to the inside margin, from based on Rashi, Dibra Maskel Tlosa Bavi, Reisha is Naflu Isur Veheter Ka'achas, where the forbidden substance falls in simultaneously together with an allowed substance into the batter. Mitziosa is a case of Nofal Shel Truma Tchila, where the forbidden substance falls in first by itself, and only later on does the additional allowed substance fall in. And the Seifa is a reference to the Yayin Shenofal Lesoich Adoshim example that we saw at the top of this Amud. So all of these examples, why are they necessary to be taught? Turning back to the Gemara, Hani Tlosa Bavi, we've also included a squiggled arrow found to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Amud Aleph that enables you to see, when you turn back to Amud Aleph, also you'll find a squiggled arrow to the lower part of the page, the last narrow line, helping you to find where we are quoting from or what we are referring to when we refer to the three sections of that which was dikkotani, means that which was taught in a Tanaic source. What do I need them for? Loma li. What do I need them for? Bishlama bava de seifa. The case of the yayin l'soch hadoshim, Kamash Malon, that section teaches me bepogem meikara machlokes, that even though there's an initial negative taste when the mixture takes place, there is a controversy, Tanaic controversy, where Rabbi Meir will forbid that, even though it's pogem meikara, and Rabbi Shimon allows. So there is a value in teaching that example. Mitziosa nami, the case featured in the Mitziosa, namely where the Truma fell in initially, not together with Chulin sourdough, just Truma sourdough fell in. That's an example of Hishbiach Ulubasov Pogam. And we see there Divrei HaKol Aser. The necessity of teaching that was to say that in a case of Hishbiach Ulubasov Pogam, everyone, even Rabbi Shimon, would agree that it's forbidden because it had an initial status, an initial situation of being positive, shevach, namely where the iser was able to ferment the dough on its own, that became fermented dough with usr, with forbidden sourdough in it. That's a case of hishbiach. Later on, when the chulin dough fell in, it became over fermented. So it's teaching that example to bring out the point that Hishpiach of a so pogam, everyone, there's unanimity in forbidding it. Ella, Reisha Lomali. The Reisha was a case of where the Isser and Heter sourdoughs fell in together. What is the necessity of teaching me that in Noflu Ka'at, where they fell in together, that there is a machlokis? Hashta Uma Seifa. The lo komashbach klal asri rabbonon, in the seifa case where there was no shevach at all, we explained the seifa case as being pogam meikara, where there was no positive taste at all, asri rabbonon. Even so, the rabbonon forbid it. The rabbonon is a reference to the opinion that said osir, the Tanakama. They said it is forbidden. Reisha de komashbach mibaya. In the Reisha example, where there was an initial point before it, the sourdough sat there too long, it actually, the initial fermenting was good, was a shevach. So do I, that's obvious that the Rabbanon would aser in such a case. Wherever you see shevach, that's a sign to be more strict. So it's obvious that they would forbid in that case. Omar Abaye, Reisha the Rabbi Shimon Itzrich. The Reisha case is taught for the purpose of highlighting Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon's opinion said that it's mutter. V'hochi ko'amri le Rabbonon the Rabbi Shimon. And thusly, the discussion between the Rabbonon and Rabbi Shimon takes place. Once again, v'hochi ko'amri le Rabbonon the Rabbi Shimon. Isa zu ru'uya lahachmitz b'shtei shois. This dough could have fermented over a period of 2 hours. Mi goram lo shetachmitz b'sho achas. What caused it to ferment more rapidly within 1 hour? In other words, the quicker fermenting is viewed as a shevach. This would be an example of hishbiach ulebesof pogam. And it seems that in the case of hishbiach ulebesof pogam, you, Rabbi Shimon, agree that that is forbidden. That we saw in example number 2 of the reisha that we saw on Amud Aleph, the case of nochash el truma tchila. So here we have a situation where the fermenting was hastened. That's hishbiach. The rapid fermentation is considered a good thing. That's hishbiach ulebesof pogam. What caused that? Of course, it's the presence of the iser. Let's read that again. Mi goram lo shetachmitz b'sho'achas. Iser, the presence of the forbidden sourdough. So why is it that you, Rabbi Shimon, are matir, are allowing that? Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's response is as follows. Kishi hishbichu, shneem hishbichu. When the fermentation was happening rapidly, it's not accurate to say that the forbidden sourdough is alone responsible for that increased pace of fermentation. The presence of the heter, of the allowed sourdough, was playing a major role as well. Kishipogmu, and when eventually it became over fermented, because it just sat, there was too much sourdough at the end of the day, Shneem Pogmu, both of them were responsible for the negative taste. And we can't say that one was more responsible than the other. The Gemara asks, the Rabbi Shimon, litztarev heter ve'iser v'hadi hadodi v'litzar. Why don't we say, according to Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that the allowed sourdough and the forbidden sourdough join up? There's a siruf, a connection or a combination of heter with iser, and that should enough be reason for him to forbid. Rashi explains, the litzar mishum mashbiach ulebesof pogam, it should be forbidden on the grounds of mashbiach ulebesof pogam. Demodi Rabbi Shimon ba. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Shimon litamei. Rabbi Shimon, who does not look at it this way, is consistent with what he says elsewhere. The Omar, Rabbi Shimon says, Afilu iser v'iser nami lo mitstarfi. Two unlike substances, even if they're both forbidden, let alone if one is allowed and one is forbidden, unlikes, even if they're both forbidden, nami lo mitstarfi, they do not join up. This issue of joining up has to do with situations where I need a certain quantity for whatever. We'll go over that point in a minute. Disnan, the source says, Ha'orla v'kile akere mitstarfin. Rabbi Shimon Omer ein mitstarfin. The reason we're bringing this in is to highlight the point of Rabbi Shimon that says ein mitstarfin. a little background that's necessary to understand this is that when you have allowed fruits, let us say, and some forbidden fruits fall in, depending on the quantity of that which is forbidden that falls in, we will then be able to determine whether the entire group of fruits are allowed or not. When looking at Orle and Kilei HaKerem, we say that you need to have 200 times the allowed, the mutter, 200 times heter to be mevatel, to cancel, to void the Orle or Kilei HaKerem that falls in. So let us say that you had, for illustration purposes, you had 400 fruits of heter, and one Orla fruit fell in. Well, we would say you've got 400 times that one fruit, so the Orla poses no threat. Let's say two Orla fruits fell in, then you would have 400 against two. That would be 200 times more. 200 times is capable of being botel. But if a little more than that fell in, then it would be prohibited. Let us say that you had one Orla fruit fall in and one Kilei HaKerem fruit fall in. And just for our purposes, say that these fruits were a little bit larger than the rest of the fruits there. You would then have less than 200 times the allowed substance against the forbidden substance. And such a mixture is less than 1 in 200. In other words, the 200 is less than, it is less than 200 times the forbidden substance. But how did I get to that situation? Because I had one Orla and one Kilei HaKerem fruit falling in. According to Rabbi Shimon, such a mixture would be allowed. They're not mitzarif because they're of an unlike nature. So we see that Rabbi Shimon does not allow tziruf when dealing with unlikes. Therefore, we cannot view the two types of sourdough falling into the allowed batter as joining up. And as a result of that, Rabbi Shimon will not look at the case of the sourdoughs as a case of hishbiach l'besof pogam. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon, even in the first case, will rule mutter, a lenient ruling. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new mixture. We've titled this sukya as on the side of our Gemara, under the Nosei heading, Achbor b'shechar. Achbor often is translated as a mouse. It's some type of critter. We'll refer to it henceforth just by the term achbor, falling into beer. Halu achbor adenofal lechavita deshichra. A case happened where a mouse or an achbor fell into a barrel of beer. Asrei Rav lahu shichra, and Rav ruled that the beer is forbidden. Amrua rabbonon kamed Rav Sheshes. The Rabbonon said in the presence, or said to Rav Sheshes, they offered the following explanation, in their opinion, of Rav. Neimo kosovar, should we say that Rav holds noisein tam livgam osir? The assumption being that the dead mouse will impart a negative taste to the beer. And even so, Rav ruled that the beer is forbidden, so it must be that he holds that no seintam lifgam is forbidden. Where, that expression we've used in the past, where even though there is a bad taste, that's a tam lifgam, is being imparted by the osir substance, by the forbidden substance, in this case the achbor, nevertheless we cannot be lenient. Omar lehu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes responds to the Rabbonan. We've squiggled underlined both of them so as to be able to keep track of who the speaker is. So Rav Sheshes says, "Be'almo sovar Rav nozitam of gamuter." In general, Rav will take the opinion that negative tastes are acceptable. In other words, that even though it's an usher substance fell into the food item, into the food mixture, since it's a negative taste, it is allowed. The hocha, in the case of the achbar, chidush hu, there is a novel point that the Torah reveals to us, and we cannot use the case of the achbar as a precedent setter for anything else. The ha'minis mois, the nature of an achbar, if you assume that it's a mouse, is something that's mous. Notice, interestingly, that the word mous means disgusting. If you look at the phonetic pronunciation of the word mouse, if you assume that we'll spell it M-O-U-S-E, the M-O would be mo, and the U-S, oos. So it's interesting how the word mouse actually reflects its very nature or description being something disgusting. An achbor is something that's mous, ubedili in shimine, and people on their own would stay away from it. It's not something that is viewed as enticing. The afilu hochi asrei rachmona, and even so, the Torah forbids mice. In other words, logically, you could have said the Torah didn't have to go out of its way to forbid something that people aren't generally attracted to anyway. There's a natural deterrent built in to mankind with regard to his consumption of mice. So the Torah didn't have to rule that it is forbidden, and yet it did. The Torah went overboard, so to speak. Hilkoch, therefore, in the case of the achbar, no sein tam lifgam nami oser. We must conclude that in the case of mice, the bad taste that they impart happens to be forbidden. But as we said a moment before, we cannot extrapolate from that to other cases of no sein tam lifgam. At this point, the Gemara is going to focus on this analysis and go back and forth, seeing how far this goes. This idea that something that people stay away from in general, and the Torah's need to rule upon it. Omule rabona l'Rav Sheshes. Elo me'ata. If it be so that the achbor is a chidush, then l'tame lach v'yovesh. Then in the realm of ritual impurity, up till now we've been discussing the realm of kashrus, allowance with regard to the eating, the consumption of it. Here we're going to flip into another realm that the Gemara will try to parallel, namely the realm of tumah and tahor, ritual impurity. Let us say that if it's a chiddush, in other words, if the Torah feels that this mouse is such a reprehensible thing that even though people stay away from it, we still have to impose restrictions for whatever reason, then it should be able to impart its ritual impurity not only when it's lach, wet, or still has it still resembles the living organism. It's dead, of course, otherwise it doesn't impart tumah, but it's lach, it's still damp. That's the normal way that tumah is, or that's the normal circumstance under which tumah is communicated when something is lach. However, if you're claiming that the achbor is a chiddush, then it should be able to impart tumah even when it's dried out as well. And we know that's not the case. Aloma tanan, so why is it taught in the following source, mitamin lachim ve'ein mitamin yaveshim, that these shrotzim, including the achbar, are mitama, they impart ritual impurity only when they're lach, only when they're wet, they're damp. But once they are yavesh, they are dried out, they no longer impart tumah. But if you are correct in classifying it as a chiddush, then it should be able to impart this ritual impurity even when it's yavesh. So, in effect, what the Gemara is doing is it's raising a question from the realm of tumah and tara on the analysis that Rav Sheshes used for the realm of kashrus. Ule tamech. So now Rav Sheshes responds to the Rabbanan and says, according to you that are asking or raising questions from the realm of Tumah, Shichmas Zerah, this is a substance that is emitted from men, from males, referred to in English as semen. We'll refer to it henceforth as Shichmas Zerah. Now this is a substance that is considered definitely Mo'us. It's a substance that people do not want to have physical contact with once it's emitted from the body. It's Mo'us. And it should be, according to your analysis, it should tetame lach v'yovesh. Aloma tnan. And by the way, we also have a long answer marking, because after the Rabbanan raised their objection to Rav Sheshes on the grounds of if something is a chiddush, it should be metame lach v'yovesh. We are now going to have Rav Sheshes show that there's another substance that's Mo'us, but it is not mitame lach v'yovesh. This will counter the point the Rabbanan made to Rav Sheshes. It takes a few lines of Gemara to develop the point and eventually the real explanation. So let us continue in the Gemara. So according to your reasoning, says Rav Sheshes, back to the Rabbanan, Shichva Zera should be Metame Lach V'Yovesh, Aloma Tnan, so why does it say regarding Shichva Zera, Metame Lach and V'Ein Metame Yoveshin, that it's Metame, it imparts ritual impurity only when it's damp and not when it's dry? Elo, Mai Is Loch Lemeimar, why is it by the Shichva Zera that it's not Metame Yoveish? That it's not mitama when it's dry. Shichvas zera, Omer Achmona. The Torah, in describing this substance, calls it shichvas zera. Part of the name of this substance has in it the word zera, which equals bireuya lahazria, something capable of procreation. And shichvas zera is capable of producing an offspring only if it's still damp, not once it's totally dry. Hachinami, so too with the realm of the Achbor, in the realm of Tumas and Taras that we're talking about, Bemosam Omar Rachmana. The Torah uses the word Bemosam when they have died. Ke'ein Mosam. This indicates that their ability to impart Tumas is only when they are like they are at the point they died. At the point some creature dies, it's still damp. It's not dried out. Drying out is after something sits for a long time. So that's as far as Tumas and Taras are concerned. Whether it be the Achbar, whether it be the Shichva Zera, there are scriptural references governing its ability when and when not able to communicate the ritual impurity. However, with regard to Kashrus, the issue of Nosein Tam Lifgam, Rav Sheshes sticks to his guns and says, The explanation behind the Achbor is that since the Torah forbids your eating something that you would not have eaten anyway, it must be that the Achbor is a chidush, and therefore only it, when it's nosein tam lifgam, is forbidden. But other examples of nosein tam lifgam would be all right. Maskif lo Rav Simi minahar da. Rav Simi asks on Rav Sheshes from another angle. We have arrows in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara to help focus the point on which this question is being raised. Above, the Gemara had mentioned, or Rav Sheshes had mentioned, that the Achbor is Mo'us. Here, Rav Simi asks, Umi Mo'is, is it really so? V'halo Oila al Shulchan Shel Melochim. We find that mouse dishes are served to kings. It's a royal dish. Omar Rav Simi Nahar Da'a. Lo Kashya. Ha Bida Dabra, Ha Bida Masa. The Dabra are field mice, those are oila al shulchan malachim. Those may be served as royal dishes. B'demasa, city mice, those are disgusting. But as we mentioned before, even city mice are forbidden to be eaten by the Torah. That indicated to Rav Sheshes beforehand that there must be something unique to these creatures, and therefore, even if they are no Saint Tam Lefgam, they still are forbidden. And with that, we understood Rav's ruling before regarding the achbor in the beer, whereby Rav forbade the beer. Omar Rava. At this point in the Gemara, Rava has a section, presents a section of legal rulings, takes a few lines, and we've indicated this to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, where you'll see Rava is encircled with a vertical dashed line, that all of these lines are part of Rava's rulings. So Rava says, number one, Hilchasa noisein tam livgam mutter, that in general, if something imparts a negative taste, it is, if a forbidden substance imparts a negative taste, it does not create iser. It's allowed. The mixture would be allowed. Number two, the achbor b'shichra lo yodana maitaimo derav. As far as the achbor falling into the shechar, which Rav forbade, he said, Rava says, I don't know why he forbade it. Is it because that Rav has a general opinion that no Saint Tam Levgam is forbidden, and we will not accept that? Or it may be that he personally, Rav, holds in general that no Saint Tam Levgam is acceptable. The Achbar B'Shichra is Shbuchei Mishbach. And simply, the achbor in the beer imparts a good taste. And that's why he may have ossered it. So Rava remains unclear as to the reasoning behind Rav's psak. But as far as Rava's own maskon is concerned, that is that no Saint Tam Lefgam is osser. It seems from this Gemara that Rava is not accepting Rav Sheshes' analysis of Rav's prohibition. Rav Sheshes introduced the idea that the Achbor was no Saint Tam Livgam, but it's a chiddush of the Torah to forbid it. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.